This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry offers a warm welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting the service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of the sermon will follow the broadcast. We hope you enjoy today's service so much that you will continue to worship with us every Sunday on this station.
Reinhold Niebuhr once prayed, "God, grant me the serenity to accept those things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Is this a good prayer? We'll talk about it in a sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we live in a world that is filled with cares, and some of this rubs off on us. So help us today to grant new understanding in your will for our lives when you say, "Take no thought of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Blessed thoughts, but can they be applied practically to our lives? We ask you, O God, to be our intervening power. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we may learn what it is to cast all of our cares upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, for many years I attended the weekly Rotary Club meeting, and a part of our program was to take out 10 minutes and sing some songs to just relax a little bit. One of these songs was "Smile, and the World Smiles with You, Sing a Song. Don't be weary, just be cheery all day long. Whenever your trials, your troubles, and your cares seem to be more than you can really bear, smile, and the world smiles with you, sing a song." We had a good time doing it, but I often wondered what our guests must have thought. What a lot of, quote, baloney. They knew it, and we knew it, but it was fun to leave the real world and just make believe our cares could be whisked away that easily. Now, in real contrast, let's listen to what Jesus has to say. For he knows that we live in a world that is filled with worry, and oftentimes this rubs off on those of us who trust him as our Savior. Here are his words. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the food more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, these are words that are spoken to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not words that necessarily are addressed to an unbelieving world. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount, without a doubt, in that audience of Jesus, they must have had believers and unbelievers. But he is speaking clearly here to those who have had an experience with him, great or small. And that's the way it is as far as our world is concerned. These are basically words that are addressed to the believers who have some personal relationship with him. In other words, they have been to the cross. They have seen that Jesus has suffered and died as a payment for the sins of the world, and that he has been raised again. He is the living Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they have received him into their lives as Savior and Lord, and they're the ones that he looks to guide them and direct them as they mature in this Christian faith. So if they're maturing in the Christian faith, and you have a Savior who says, I'm with you always, is it not wrong to worry? Yes, I imagine we have to say that it is. But worry seems to be one of the hardest sins to deal with, at least it is in my life. So our Father speaks to us, those of us who are in a living relationship with him. And he says, I'm your Father. I will protect you. I'll be with you. I will help you when the problems of life are too big for you to handle. Don't carry that load alone. Don't you realize that I am always with you? Those are good words. We want to address this again to those who are in a personal relationship. We are basically talking here about sanctification, growing up in the Christian faith, and being able to leave more and more and more at the feet of our Heavenly Father who wants to care for us. Now, what does our Father have to say to us? Well, there are many things, and time does not permit us to get into very much. But I'd like to take three concerns of our day. First, financial, then our children, then our health, and then just some general statements of what Jesus is saying in these words. The first one, then, is the financial. How does this text that I have read to you fit into the day of which we are a part? For certainly we understand that our financial statement is not what it should be. Some days the stock market goes up 200 points. The next day it goes down 300 points. How do you deal with that when Jesus says, well, let it be? What do you do when you see some of your life savings quickly being stripped of its worth? I think that God and His Word gives us some very good counsel. And I think at times He gives us other people to counsel us and to tell us, what are you trying to do? Seek first the kingdom of God. I have not acquired a lot of money in my life, but like most of you, there is a few dollars that lays there. And every so often, somebody will call and say, wouldn't you like to invest it and see it double or triple? And once in a while, in your weaker moments, you do a little investing. Well, I had done just that. And one of the investments that I had wasn't too good. And my son, who happens to be an attorney, found out about that on my income tax. And kindly and lovingly, for that's the kind of a person he is, he said to me, Dad, if I were you, I wouldn't dabble too much in stocks that are kind of up for grabs. You'd be a lot better off just to have some very, very conservative investments that pay you a reasonable bit of interest and let it go at that. I really believe that was God speaking to me through my son. What is he trying to tell me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You don't have to worry about the days that are ahead. I'll be with you. Is that too impractical for our day? Can that fit into our culture no matter how old we are? Does this word of God have anything to say to this situation that we find ourselves in? You see, I want this to tie into the text, or it doesn't belong in Crusaders. But we read about all of this housing. And I talked with a realtor one day, and I said, all of these houses, and I pointed them out to him as we were riding by. I said, who's going to buy them? And he said, well, many of them are being bought by the people of our town. And how much do they cost? Well, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. And I said, can these houses ever be paid for? By some people, they can be paid for who have extremely fine incomes. But by others, they are way in over their head. Well, we have learned from the stock markets and the newspaper reports what is happening to the housing situation. And people who once were halfway comfortable and had their house payments under control now find themselves without a house. How does this word of Jesus really fit in? Can it be applied? Can you really say, well, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself? I can understand we have to be a little bit practical about all of this. But don't take these words too lightly. God is speaking to you in everyday life when He says, live within your means. Don't worry. What does it profit a man if he gains a whole world and loses his soul? You know, the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. When is enough enough? That's what Jesus is talking about in our text today. And we're having to relate that to our culture. Let's take in the second particular topic that is often one of worry. What about our children? We're concerned about them, aren't we? Well, we were concerned when we knew that we were going to have a child. And then our thoughts was, and our worries and our prayers were, oh God, will you give us healthy children? I recall that when one of our children was born, a friend of my wife's had a child born without legs. How terribly sorry we felt for them. Yes, we worry and while they're in the womb. And then we worry when they get out, and then they begin to go to school, and there are all of these competitive things that are thrown at them. Are they going to be the best students? Are they going to be interested in dramatics or music or athletics or whatever else it might be? Will they really, really perform well? We get over that finally, and now they're getting older and they're going to get married, and we wonder, will they marry correctly? Will they have the type of person who will give him or her a good home, a home like we have had? I had a young lady, not so young anymore. I was visiting with her the other day, and she was telling me what a blessed marriage she now had. It was her third marriage. The first two were filled with a lot of difficulty. And I asked her, do you have any idea why those first two didn't work out? And we talked on and on, and I said, do you realize that God has given us one great specific bit of counsel? Do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. And if you will take that seriously, and if you will marry somebody who you can share Jesus Christ with, whom you can pray with, read the scriptures with, discuss God's word with, go to church with, kneel at the communion table with, things are going to be entirely different. She said, that's what happened. The third time I met a man who had a personal relationship with Christ, and we have shared all of these things together. It doesn't mean that we don't have our disagreements. It doesn't mean that everything is always rosy. No, that's not the point. But we have a common Savior to whom we can come with our differences of opinion and talk about this matter. See, this is all implied in this text of ours. Don't worry. If you've used your head and you've followed my counsel and you have a husband or a wife with whom you can share Jesus Christ, then you know that everything will work out all right. And the lady that I referred to now said to me, you knew my father and my mother. They were God-fearing people, and they were. They were wonderful people. We enjoyed them a great deal. She said, they trained us right. But, she said, never once did either father or mother say anything to me about the person whom I was marrying as far as his relationship with Jesus Christ was concerned. You see, we can learn from that. If you have young people in your home who are unmarried, you know, it's a good time to point out to them how it is important that their husband or their wife someday will know Jesus Christ. Well, then the third one is health. Well, we are very concerned about our health. We want to be healthy and well. But there are a few things that we need to get straight. The first is that we are not mortal. Not all of us know that. We think we're going to go on and on forever, but the Word of God says 80 years a reason of strength, 80 years. When you're 84 years old, like I happen to be, you have to realize that the body is soon going to begin to wear out. It is wearing out. It is, in some parts, worn out. Yes, you take care of your body. You see your doctor on a regular basis, and he or she is doing a good job for you. Care for the body. But when that day comes that the physician has to say to you, it looks like it's pretty well over with. It looks like there isn't much more that I can do. Then to hear those blessed words of our Savior, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and get you, that where I am, there you may be also. So if he's going to be with me while I am here on this earth, and then when I breathe my last breath, he's going to take me home to heaven, can I say, don't worry about tomorrow? Each day has enough troubles of his own. Realize whether here on this earth or in heaven, we are in our Father's hands. And isn't that summarized very, very well when he says to us, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be yours. Let God have top priority in your life. Let Jesus Christ be the one who is guiding and directing you. This is an advanced course in Christianity. As I said before, this counsel is given to those who know Jesus Christ in a very personal way. For if you don't, then perhaps it doesn't make any more sense to you than the Rotary song did. But let it be in Christ, and you know that you're well off. Reinhold Niebuhr, a prominent physician of the last century, said this one day, as I was finishing up a sermon, I was just sitting there with my pencil, and I scribbled down these words. I might have gotten a thought from some other place, Dr. Niebuhr said, but here they are. God grant me the serenity to accept those things I cannot change. Change the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Isn't that pretty good advice? There's one that perhaps said it even better than that brilliant theologian. It was King Solomon himself, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Friend, this is what Jesus wants, that you have a full life in him. Amen.
I was there when you
Will you pray with me? On this Memorial Weekend, Heavenly Father, we remember the terrific price that has been paid for the freedom that we have in the United States. God, we thank you that brave men and women gave their lives that other people might live free. And now we pray for those who are in harm's way. Grant that it will not be long before they can all be home. And, O Lord, we pray that you will use every effort to bring this war in Iraq and Afghanistan to a close. Be with those parents. Grant them strength and peace while their loved ones are away. And grant, O Lord, that it may be soon that they're all together again. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that the gospel message you have just heard will inspire you to give thanks for God's many blessings in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders depends on the generosity of its listeners to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Please consider, if you're able to do so, a gift to help us in this mission. Some listeners have joined our GEM, or Gift Every Month, club. They make a regular monthly gift of any amount. If you would like to become a GEM Club member, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Gifts may also be directed by mail to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. If you would like to receive a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You can also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or visit us anytime on the web at www.christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.